here on Wednesday night, we have been going through, Pastor Lee and I taught one other time, we've been going through, what's the name of the book? Christian Philosophy. Amen. Has anybody read any of that or already read that book by the raising of your hand? Has anybody, has it been powerful? Have you guys enjoyed it?
Yes.
I know that when I taught this subject, I did for 12 weeks in the Bible school, man, it really challenged me. It was powerful. It was very powerful. And the subject that we're going to speak tonight, just real quick, because there's 14 chapters, but, you know, the first one being, what is Christian philosophy? I know, by the way, I know some of you are still have ordered a book, and so you're still waiting on them. And you'll be able to catch up, because I think we're going to go pretty methodically, pretty slow through this book. But chapter one being, what is Christian philosophy? Chapter two, why should I care about philosophy? Chapter three, which is what our focus tonight is going to be on chapter three, is the Bible true? And I'm glad to be here tonight because as I was teaching this in the Bible school, this chapter here and number four, which is how do we know the Bible is inspired, really impacted my life. It really changed me to a degree because we live in a society now where the Bible is made fun of or discarded or doesn't have any value today. Do you notice that? That it's maybe an ancient manuscript. It might have some truths to it. It's like maybe it's like Chinese proverbs. Maybe there's some good things in there to apply to your life. But it's kind of take it or leave it. And the problem is, as Christians, as a body of Christ, if we're not careful, we can get a little bit of that attitude in our own lives, where the Bible's maybe not as precious to us as maybe it should be. Or as after tonight, as I'm going to teach this, I want it to be a reminder and stirring my heart tonight of how precious the Word of God is. Amen? We know that the Holy Spirit lives in us. We know that God still works in wondrous ways, in signs and wonders and miracles. We still believe and understand that God has the gifts of the Spirit that He pours out upon our lives. But we got to remember, let's remind ourselves tonight that the foundation is indeed the Word of God. Amen? The Bible is our foundation. Amen. And by the way, you notice that God has still included the Old Testament in the Bible. Now, we believe in New Covenant living. We're under the New Covenant. But did you notice that God didn't discard the Old Covenant or the Old Testament? Because in that Old Covenant is where Jesus is revealed. And as we start this, a lot of what Paul came out when Paul talks about this revelation of grace of Jesus Christ, it was revealed to him not just in visions or dreams, but it was the God unfolding the Old Testament saying, this is talking about Jesus. I think I have the notes here that Paul references in his writings the Old Testament like 250 times. So God revealed to Paul this wonderful revelation that we are saved by grace through the old covenant. And so as we read or take in the word, we can read the Old Testament prophets, we can read the writings of Moses, and we can see Jesus in them. And now it jumps out at us. Oh yeah, this is talking about Jesus. It actually builds your faith, knowing that the old covenant definitely points to our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus in Genesis 2 Revelation. Is the Bible true? How do we know? Chapter 4, how do we know the Bible is inspired? Chapter 5, how do I follow God? Chapter 6, can I really know God? Chapter 7, these are the things, just a reminder that we're, and I've got a reason, I'm just a reminder of what we're going to be studying and teaching the next several months. Chapter 7, is God angry with me? My goodness, is that important today's day and age with believers? I was just something that I did with my granddaughters, but I'm going to put it in this example as far as anger. I mean, God loves us this much, right? But this is what I said to my granddaughters, and I make a point with this, is you are this pretty, and you're only this much ugly. No, what did they remember I just said they're this pretty? No, they were focused on this. You're just, of course, I was just kidding them, making a point. And they said, well, I'm not ugly at all. I said, yeah, but you're this pretty. Well, I don't like that little part that you think I'm ugly. Well, we have a thing, too, where we think God loves us and accepts us this much sometimes. But there's a little part that we may think that God doesn't maybe love us. Or maybe God really doesn't care for us. Or maybe God really hasn't forgiven me this much, or past, or even when I slip into those things. I've given you an example which a good brother gave to me, saying that on your worst day, God is madly in love with you. And when that was told to me, you know what? I didn't believe that. I wanted to, but my heart didn't believe it. So when we talk about, is God angry with me anymore? You know what? Believing that he loves us this much, but he's not pleased with us this much, affects our whole life. Our whole life. So when we come to that chapter, do you think God is still angry with you a little bit? Man, it can stunt us. Or do you believe he loves you all the way? On your worst day, he still loves you completely. Amen. Right, John Corbett? Amen. Chapter 8, what about suffering? What great chapter. Chapter 9, social issues. Christians must speak up. Chapter 10, creation versus evolution. Do we realize how much evolution has even creeped into what we believe about the Bible? Well, maybe it wasn't a literal 7 days. Maybe it was over a period of time. And Christians will start believing this philosophy, and then it sneaks into other parts of the Bible. Well, maybe he doesn't heal completely today. Or maybe people can't be baptized in the Holy Spirit today. Or we'll just continue that thought process about evolution and the Bible, and it creeps in, and pretty much then it starts watering down and filtering the promises of God. Amen? It snuck into the church in some degree. Chapter 11, a godly perspective on homosexuality. Do we need a godly perspective on homosexuality in this day and age in our country? Amen. There is a godly perspective on that. There's a lot of confusion with people about homosexuality. And by the way, God loves them as much as he loves any other person. Who's without sin? Right? The guy who's not faithful to his wife, is he better than the homosexual? Or the guy who has trouble fibbing and lying, is any better than somebody struggling with homosexuality? I'll put it that way. I'll say this, somebody who maybe practices or struggles that, I don't want to say you're a homosexual. They're a human being who was born and made in the image of God and needs to know his grace. Amen? Amen. Facts and statistics regarding homosexuality. Chapter 13, abortion. And chapter 14, in the world but not of it. Receive Jesus as your Savior, and then receive the Holy Spirit. I mention all those because you know what? Really all hinges on this. Is the Bible true? Because if you're not convinced the Bible's true, or what in the case of if the Bible wasn't true, all these other things are up for total debate. You know, they're not objective. Maybe they're subjective. You know, it's my opinion. So if the Bible's not true, or if we can't have confidence, brothers and sisters, in the Bible being 100% accurate and for us and living and active today, then all these other things really doesn't matter. But if the Bible is true, if the Bible is still for us today, if it's still the foundation of brothers and sisters in Christ, then it has something to say with every one of these issues. Amen. Amen. By the way, don't forget to sign Pastor Lee's card on the way out if you can, and also Ryan and Esther. We really, this Sunday, we're going to bless them. I don't know what they know or don't know, but we're going to take a few minutes and hijack the service and honor them. It's Pastor Appreciation Month, and we're going to catch it the last second, but we're going to do it. Really going to honor them. So if you can sign that card. If you've got money, we want to bless them with a financial gift. We want to do that too and really show our appreciation. Amen? Amen. So this one, chapter 3, is the Bible true? Now, I'll have a few scriptures I may put up there. In the Bible school, we just had so much information, we just kind of went through it, and I just read scriptures. I'll give a little time for some of these that Bill can put on the screen. And if you have your Bible, maybe your Bible is a tablet now or your phone. Some people still have a real Bible? I mean, a paper Bible? Amen. There's still some holdouts out there. One thing I do like about, like, a Bible on your phone or, some an iPad or whatever, is there's like 20 different versions and different things. You can go back. I really like that. Isn't that cool? Amen. So just to start, just to say this, the thing that this whole book hinges on, this first paragraph of chapter 1 says, everyone has a philosophy, whether you realize it or not. A lot of people don't even think about it. They just live day to day, take things as they come, right? But the truth is, they definitely have a philosophy. A philosophy is simply the basic set of ideas and beliefs and values that you live by. It's your outlook, you know, the outlook, how you see things, or the filter through which you view life. Every piece of information that comes to you and every situation you face is filtered through your philosophy. How you know, it could be how you were raised. Some of our philosophies, how were you raised? Your experiences in life very much can dictate and shape and fashion our philosophy. Amen? And our education, how we're raised, the things that we learned. Can you have philosophies fed to you in colleges today as an example? Amen? Is there a philosophy there? Yeah. Definitely. Amen. So is our philosophy, here's the question, as Spirit-filled, blood-washed believers, our philosophy, is it based upon absolute truths? Is there absolute truths? Maybe, you know, is it, or is it, yeah, well, you know, it's a good ideal, and I want to be moral, I want to be kind to others, you know, do good to others so they'll do good to you, and, you know, that karma thing, is that what, the, you know, that karma, is that, you know, right, is that saying karma, what you do comes back to you, is that saying, am I right, you know what I'm saying? But is our philosophy based upon absolute truths or these things I just mentioned? The Bible. Is the Bible subjective, an opinion? Is there any area of that Bible right now in your mind, or have you thought about it, that maybe it's just an opinion? Or is it objective? Is it fact? Is it fact to you? Is the Bible what it says, what you believe? Is it what your standard is? Is it your foundation as we talk about the Bible tonight? So the first thing, a couple of things, give me a little bit of time just to go over the Bible. You know, a lot of us obviously maybe raised Christians, born again, have faith, realize from a young age the Bible is true. But let's just, give me a moment just to go over a couple of things. And so the first thing, is the Bible accurate? The Bible is still accurate, preserved through the years. I'm saying the Bible is still accurate, brothers and sisters. So did the Bible stay accurate through the years? So, you know, there's been translations, you know, and so these translations through the years, have they remained sound? Have they remained true? Are they the same now as the translation 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago? But or was there a mess up and things got confused and changed and now it's different than it was centuries ago? Well, here's an example. You guys have heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls, and he mentions that in this book, so... The discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls between 1946 and 1957 in several caves on the shores of the Dead Sea has given us additional evidence of the accuracy of the scriptures that have been handed down to us. Why? Among the Dead Sea Scrolls was an intact copy of the entire book of Isaiah. Isn't that amazing? These shepherds, by the way, when they found this book of Isaiah, they're looking at it. They didn't know what to do. They took it back to their village. I can't believe that it stayed intact, that it wasn't damaged, but it did. But they kind of looked at it and said, what do we do with this? And what is it? And they tried to sell it to somebody, and they said, nah. And finally, they found somebody who bought it for $37. And that person, somebody had the book of Isaiah and some of these other Dead Sea Scrolls for quite a few years before somebody realized what those individuals had, which in many cases were scrolls of the Bible that were centuries, 1,000 years beyond anything that we had or knew of. So there's the test. So here we go. Among the Dead Sea Scrolls was an intact book of Isaiah. It is dated at 100 BC, or 2,100 years old. Wow. And is 1,000 years older than the copies that were used to compose the book of Isaiah we read in our Bibles today. So it was 1,000 years older than anything that had been dictated or copied through the years.
After 1,000 years of being copied and recopied by hand, the number of differences between the great Isaiah scroll and our book of Isaiah in your book that you have right now, your Bible, was virtually minuscule. It was almost 100% the same. Amen. Does God know how to preserve His Word? Does God know how to preserve His Word? And you understand that God uses the foolishness of preaching. So knowing that through the centuries, He preserved the Word of God. Isn't that wonderful that the book that was preserved 100% was the book of Isaiah, which is a book in the Old Testament, really represents Christ, the coming of Christ. It also had two almost complete books of Habakkuk. Habakkuk has three chapters, and they almost had a complete chapter 1 and 2. And in chapter 2 talks about basically the new covenant saying, put this scroll up. It's for another age, another date. It'll be opened up and those people will understand what it means. Well, what does it mean? It was the new covenant of Jesus Christ coming. And it's funny how that book was preserved too. Amen. Habakkuk today, when it talks about that, roll that vision up. Roll that revelation up. We don't know what it means, but it will be revealed at a later time. And that was Jesus Christ, the new covenant. Amen. Amen. There are more Greek manuscripts, by the way, talking about the New Testament. There are more Greek manuscripts that preserve the New Testament than there are for any other ancient writings. 5,686 manuscript copies of the New Testament that have been determined to be 99.5% accurate. Maybe a letter here that's different, but that's it. The New Testament is the most verified document of antiquity in the world. Did you know that? The most verified. That tells me that goes beyond just a storybook that you put your faith in. Although we put our faith in it, it's been verified. It's been verified. So is the Bible accurate? I say right now, amen, that it is, right? Yeah. It's been proven to be accurate. Is the Bible factual? Some of these stories and things they talk about, is it true? Did they happen? Is this just fiction? Well, non-Christians have given evidence of Jesus as a historical figure. The well-known Jewish historian Josephus wrote about Jesus and his followers. Talks about Jesus during his time. He lived during the time of Jesus, and his writings that remain that we have today talked about Jesus. Here's one that I think is even more awesome. The Roman historian Tacitus wrote of the Christians being blamed for the fire set in Rome right at the early first church time frame. He wrote of the crucifixion of Christ at the hands of Pontius Pilate. It says his name in there. Those details that we read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it talks about being crucified at the hands of Pontius Pilate. Just a note here, did you know many Christians at that time were severely persecuted? When this fire that was started in Rome, they blamed it on the Christians, but a lot of people think it was the Romans who set it themselves. And they persecuted a lot of Christians, not for setting the fire per se, but for their hatred of mankind. And why did they say that they had a hatred for mankind? At that time in Roman history, homosexuality, abuse of children, and pedophilia with young slaves was acceptable. As Christians spoke out about some of these unthinkable acts, the leadership in Rome didn't like it because they were involved in so much depravity. As Christians stood up for people, some of these things that are unthinkable. In the Old Testament, it mentions a people known as the Hittites. You ever heard of the Hittites? Yeah. Well, just a century ago, critics claimed this was just a figment of Bible imagination. So it talks about the Hittites, but we don't have anything in history, archaeological speaking, that would prove that there was Hittites. But in 1906, archaeologists digging in Turkey discovered Hittasas. Hittasas is the only way I can say it. The ancient capital of the Hittite people. I could give you example after example of archaeological discoveries, not discrediting the Bible, but actually proving the historic accuracy of the Word of God. Amen? Through the centuries, through the decades, they're constantly discovering and archaeological digs, things that actually prove the Bible. Things that, that the Bible in the Old Testament talks about ancient peoples like the Babylonians, and you go on down a line that as through the years are saying, well, those people didn't exist. 150 years ago, they were saying that those people didn't exist. But as archaeological discoveries started to happen, they started saying that the Bible was accurate and found evidence of ruins and old cities of these peoples. Amen. Is the Bible, and this will probably be more for next week, but is the Bible inspired? Is there a difference between the Bible being true and the Bible being inspired? Well, next week we're going to definitely discover that the inspiration of the Bible is definitely different than the Bible being true. As born-again, blood-washed, spirit-filled believers, we believe the Bible to go far beyond ideals, beliefs, and values. Well, what do you mean, Chad? Well, ideals. We know that 2 Timothy 3:16 says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. I just want to say this, that when we read the Word of God that it's inspired, did you know that it inspires us? It gives us ideas. It gives us ideals in our relationships. It gives us ideals at work. It gives us ideals in our life and business. The Word of God is meant to inspire us, not just to, I'm going to read this today and do a duty. You know, this would be a good ideal to read the Word of God today because this is what God would want me to do. No, that goes beyond, far beyond that. The Word of God for us is to inspire us today because the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's living and active. God has designed that Word to come into a living heart indwelt by the Holy Spirit and to come together and to explode in our lives. Amen? Amen. Explode in our lives. So the Word of God is inspired. Ideas. So ideas, when we talk about this philosophy, ideas coming from the Word of God as it is made alive to us by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Scripture here. If you want to know what God wants you to do, this is from James 1, 5, and 6. Listen with me, brothers and sisters. If you want to know what God wants you to do, ask Him, and He will gladly tell you. For He is always ready to give a bountiful supply of wisdom to all who ask Him. He will not resent it. He loves us to ask Him for wisdom. But when you ask Him, be sure that you really expect Him to tell you. For a doubtful mind will be as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. And what happens when we talk about being driven and tossed by the wind is a lot of times we start having a doubt in the promises of God that are in the Word. One thing we got to understand, if it's in the Word of God, in the context by His Spirit revealing it to us, we can take it to the bank. It is true. If anybody lacks wisdom, let him open up the Word of God and start to glean from what He said, His Word that is living and active, and it becomes life to us. Amen? If you're doubting or you're concerned about doubting or asking God, get into the Word. That's how you can cure doubt and being double-minded, going back and forth. Well, yes, I believe His Word, but what about my experiences? Look what's happened. Let's establish ourselves in the Word of God, and we will have no doubt. Amen? Settled in the Word of God. If anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask. Let him glean from the Word of God. Allow him to speak to you, and have patience. You know, so I know that you can heat a pot pie in 5 minutes, but sometimes the answer, one thing I'm learning as I'm in my walk with God, is to have patience. Lord, thank You, the answer is on the way. Thank You, Lord, that You're leading and guiding me into all truth. Patience. And as we do that, Lord, thank You for revealing Your Word to me. Lord, thank You for steadying my path. That scripture, which I think I have here, His Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your Word. Lord, may we realize how precious Your Word is in this day and age. Amen. Another one, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and are safe. How do we know that? Because it is declared in His words, in His Word in Proverbs 18:10. Amen. How about beliefs? We've had ideals. What about beliefs? Absolutes. Are beliefs absolutes? Can they be absolutes? Absolutely, in the Word of God, according to the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. So that revelation of His Word gives us absolutes about His love for us. Absolutes in Him guiding our lives. Absolutes in standing for righteousness because it's declared in His Word. And we can stand on that knowing it's true. Amen. Would Jesus say, what that scripture that says that the wise man or the foolish man building his house upon the sand? The foundation is always the Word of God. So basically, a man building his house upon his own wisdom, his own strength, his own ability. And when things and then things don't go his way, that foundation is washed away. But what did the wise man do? The wise man, according to the Word of God, built his foundation upon Jesus Christ, upon the Word of God. And when the rough times came, when things that bad or the evil day came, they were able to stand firm because of the Word of God.
Amen.
Beliefs. Our beliefs are established and based upon the Bible. Do you believe that? Do you agree with that? Agree with me, brothers and sisters? How about values? Values beyond anything. I love this scripture. Valuable. The Word of God is valuable beyond anything else in the world. It really is. The law that, this is from Psalms 119:72. The law that you gave me means more to me than all the money in the world. We don't walk according to the law. But what's it say in Jeremiah 31:33? It says, but this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel. Me and you, brothers, sisters, are spiritual Israel now. Amen. After those days, declares the Lord, in the new covenant, I will put my law within them, and on their hearts I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You know what I realized when, as I've been studying this? You know what's taking place of these do's and don'ts and, you know, the Ten Commandments or the 20 Commandments and people that walked according to the law. Now we are in a new covenant. It's the fruit of the Spirit. I was just thinking about it. In Galatians 5, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and meekness. And then it says, which such there is no law. Lord, you put your Spirit in us. Those attributes, what's taken the place of the law, is Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? That's what our law is today, is allowing Him to grow in us by the fruit of the Spirit. He changes us, right? From glory to glory, day by day. We're growing in Him, right? Producing fruit by His Spirit. Amen. Valuable. The Word of God is super valuable. But this is the, it says, as believers combining ideas, beliefs, and values based upon the Bible, we have a precious foundation rooted and grounded in the Word. The Bible, the Word of God, very valuable. Bill, do you have that? If you were in Bible school, you saw this short video, but can I show you a short video that just gives you an example of how valuable the Word of God is? This is in China, and you're going to see some people getting a Bible for the first time. Amen. If we can have sound on that as well. That's it for that. Amen. How precious is the Word of God? Amen. It really is the foundation for our life. I'm starting to realize when I taught this, you know, a few months ago, saying, wow, Lord, how precious is the Word of God? Because you got so many now where different denominations maybe straying away from that. It's from the Word of God. But let's be people that realize the Word of God is still our foundation. In this scripture, 2 Peter 1:4 says, and because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. Precious. We just saw how precious, as an example, how precious the Word of God is. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Lord, thank you for your Word. You know, it says that it's the engrafted Word which is able, that saves our souls. The Word of God is like seed. When I taught a couple weeks ago, that the seed of the Word of God that goes down into our hearts, and by the Holy Spirit watering that, that brings forth fruit, brings forth revelation of Jesus Christ, of who Jesus Christ is, amen? His personality, who He is, is revealed, is readily available to be real, to be revealed to us in this day and age. And many of you like me, He continues to reveal Himself, His mercy, His love, His forgiveness, His faithfulness, His patience towards us. Amen? Anybody here know about the patience of God? Amen? Thank you for your patience, Lord Jesus. Christians have to establish in their hearts, this is again, that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. In other words, accurate, 100%, relative, 100% for today. I was reading an article, a statement from a religious organization. And it says, I don't believe that God intends us, it's talking about the Bible. This is in reference to the Bible. It says, I don't believe that God intends us to live in the small world of ancient biblical culture, but rather in God's larger, evolving world informed by science, reason, and experience. But I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, that's a recipe for disaster. Because if you're going to do it informed by science, a lot of science is already bent to try to disprove the Bible, so you're not going to get the truth, amen? So true science, we know, is already proving the Bible accurate. Man's reasoning is a philosophy that always leads away from the simplicity of the gospel. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. Psalms 119, written by David, but every bit is relative today for us. Don't you believe that? For God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what is the Word of God? Is it meant just to, okay, I'm going to get some of this, look at this, try to get some of this in me, read it, let's see if I can become a better person, maybe memorize it. But you know, the Word of God, truthfully, I'm realizing is nothing like that. There was a time frame in my life several decades ago where I did my best to memorize hundreds and hundreds of scriptures, taking flashcards with me every day, memorizing scriptures, but never could seem to get all my ducks in a row. You know, you get all your ducks, you know, okay, I'm doing good. I'm not struggling with this anymore and this. I've got things going. Okay, Lord, I feel like I'm in pretty good standing with you. And then, boom, you mess up in something. The law is a hard taskmaster. And it's not according to law, it's His loving grace. Amen? Amen. So we know that it's not an experience, it's not according, and then also it says at some point our experiences, she said science, reason, and experiences, at some point our experiences in life will always tempt us to abandon the promises of God. Brothers and sisters, we can never base whether God loves us based upon our experiences. You think about King David. Do you remember King David? He was a shepherd boy, and he comes and he gets anointed as king of Israel. Samuel anoints him. And after that, he had like a 10-year period where he had some struggles. His experiences would have told him, you know what, God, you missed it. I don't know what happened, but somebody said that you had anointed me king, but look what's going on in my life. Let me tell you, just like King David was anointed with that oil, did you know he's anointed every one of us as a kingdom of priests, kings and priests? That every one of us have been anointed with the Holy Spirit. Every one of us is called. Every one of us is destined for great things. And just because we go through some experiences to try us where the enemy would want us to quit, we got to say, Lord, we got to stand on what? The promises of God. Amen. God, you will lead and guide me. Lord, you will provide for me. Lord Jesus, you are here with me. Amen. That is not based upon experience, it's based upon the Word of God. Even where David said that he had to encourage himself in the Lord. He didn't give up and get in. Brothers and sisters, let's make sure that our foundation is based upon the Word of God so we don't give up or give in or get discouraged today in today's world. The Bible is meant to stir us. Did you know it's not just a thing where we read it, do any duty? The Word of God is meant to stir us. Amen. This is reading the Bible was actually the reading the Bible. I've had people say, or I say, Lord, I want increase my hunger for you. Increase my hunger for the things of God. Increase my hunger to be in your word. And as I was thinking about it, I came across this scripture. It says, how sweet are your words to my taste? Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth, Psalms 119:103. You know, if you eat a big steak, eventually you'll get full. But as you start taking in the Word of God, it does the opposite. It'll actually start to increase your hunger for the things of God. Sweeter than honey, as David said. He says, I love your Word, Lord. I can't get enough of it. As we take it in, we don't become full or that's enough for this week or this month. It actually increases our hunger to know Him, to draw from the well, to draw from the Word, to be led by His Spirit. The Word of God will increase our hunger. Amen? Amen. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. Do you realize that? Just a reminder. Sometimes we'll think, man, why don't people around me see you clearly, Lord? Why don't they understand? They don't believe the Word of God. To the mind that doesn't know God, it's foolishness. But let's just remind ourselves, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news, the gospel, amen? They don't understand that this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Satan's primary method of attack is to challenge the Word of God in today's world, brothers and sisters. It really is. You see where society around us sometimes doesn't want anything to do with the Word of God. Take that down. Remove those scriptures. That's Satan. That's not God. That's not God. When we see scripture, we're reminded of the goodness of God. And so Satan will say, did he really say that? Is the Word of God really relative today for you? Haven't we gone beyond that? Haven't we outgrown that? That's modern philosophy. But it still remains for us the simplicity of the gospel. I love this. You know, Jesus used the Bible, the Son of the Living God. You remember when he was led out into the wilderness for 40 days? He didn't eat anything. He was tempted by Satan. Just a reminder that Jesus said when he was tempted to turn stone into bread. You know, he was tempted. What was his response? It is written. You know, you shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In today's vernacular, what would we say? Satan, the Bible says this. So when the enemy comes against us, it's still just like Jesus. Lord, it's standing on his promises saying, no, Satan, the Word of God says this. It's a sure foundation still for us today. If it's what Jesus used to combat Satan and not to fall into confusion, it's what we use today as well, brothers and sisters. The foundation of Christ is not an experience or a denomination, but it's the Word of God. Amen. Thank you for your word. Paul said, but I feared lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the simplicity of the gospel. We thank you that even today still, Lord, there is only one way to salvation. I'm reminded what Paul said in Galatians. He says, talking about an experience, he says, if anybody comes to you, even an angel, and tells you or speaks to you of another revelation, let him be accursed. He says, let me say it again. If somebody presents another gospel to you, other than what I've given to you, the gospel of grace and being saved by Jesus, even if it's an angel, let him be accursed. Brothers and sisters, we've got many different voices out there with new, different testimonies and revelations of Christ, but they're not true. They weren't true at the time of Paul, and they're still not true today. We know there's a lot of cults and different beliefs, but it's still based upon the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's still based upon the Word of God. Amen? There's no additional revelations beyond Christ for today. It's still the same. Amen? It's still the same. Let me just say real quick a couple things about the Bible. Let's brag on the Bible. The Bible is the best-selling and distributed book of all time. You probably know that. The Bible has far outsold any other book or been distributed in any other book. with approximately 5 billion copies of the Bible that they know of being distributed through the decades, through the centuries. As an example, the second best-selling book of all time is 820 million, not even a billion, and the third, 400 million. The Bible has, even though the Bible is being railed against today, the Bible remains the best-selling book in the world. You know what? The Bible can hold its own. Amen? The Bible remains tested and true. Last thing here. For the Word of God is living and active. Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's able to dissolve confusion, in other words. It's able to bring a singular belief system into our life. It's able to lead us, to give us a firm foundation to where we're not shaken. It's still the Word of God, brothers and sisters. Amen? One more fact as we just... A fun fact. The entire Bible is written by Jews except the book of Luke and Acts, written by Dr. Luke, who may have been Gentile born, but a Jewish convert. The book of Job, written about a Gentile, but was written by, they say, Moses, written by a Jew. The book of Ruth, written about a Gentile, but the prophet Samuel is perhaps the author. So God taking that from the Jewish people of reading, writing the Bible, being inspired by God to write the Bible, and then the new revelation where God brought us Gentiles in, amen? And in this last day and age, God bringing all the world in, Jews, Gentiles, every tribe, red and yellow, black and white, bringing all into His kingdom based upon Scripture, John 3:16. Do you know that Scripture? It's in the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God brought not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved through Him. Amen? How do I know that? Because it's in John 3:16 and 17. Can you stand with me? We're going to be done a little early tonight. I hope you're okay with that. Because I'm not going any longer. Amen. As we stand up, can you just, if you feel comfortable, just hold your hands out. Hold your hands up, Lord. Thank You, Father, for stirring our hearts regarding the Word of God. Lord, taking a few minutes to remind ourselves of how precious the Word of God is. Lord, we know about the gifts of the Holy Spirit because they're in the Bible. Father God, we know You're coming again because it's in the Bible. Lord, we know that You're keeping us, that we know that the promises of God are for us today because it's in the Bible. Lord, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for stirring our hearts. Lord, we pray that as we read the Word of God in the coming days and weeks, Lord, that we would read it with a new understanding of how precious it is. Lord, that we would read it with a new understanding, Lord, that You wrote that book. You inspired that book to stir our hearts, Lord. We thank You for fresh stirrings in our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank You that past experiences or current experiences in our lives are not going to dictate how we act, Lord, or it's not going to dictate, Lord, Father, our attitudes. Lord, we thank You that the promises of God in Your Word, Father God, are going to stir our hearts unto joy. Father, I was reading in the book of Philippians where Paul talks about joy, but yet he's in prison. And the peace that passes, transcends all understanding. How do we know that? Because it's in Your Word, Father God. It's in the book of Philippians. So, Lord, we thank You for those promises as we attain them, as we grab hold of those things. They used to grab hold of the horns of the altar in the Old Testament. But today, Lord, we grab hold of the promises of God. Lord, we grab hold of the new covenant promises, Lord. We grab hold that the Holy Spirit is ours, that He lives in us, Father God. Thank You, as we read the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit is stirred in us in this day and age. Father, we thank You that the Word of God drives out depression in Jesus' name. Father, we thank You the Word of God drives out fear in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank You that the Word of God is a path, a light into our path, Father. We thank You for that tonight, Lord. Thank You for reminding us and stirring us, Father. Thank You, Father. We worship and praise You.
In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you for coming tonight.